It's been 2 weeks since we learned the Sugas of Sanhedrin, so we'll try to literally just recap very, very quickly, put a little bit of final touches on the previous Sugya, then I really want to get started into the next Sugya, which is a fundamentally different Sugya altogether. So let's just recap for a moment. We were really talking about a fundamental question about what role Rove has in terms of Paskin Dini Mominus, in terms of Paskin Dini Fashos. We're all familiar that Rove works in Issa Heter. We know about the nine stores, we know about the Rove Hamas and Trefas, all those things that govern Orachayim and Yerodea, that we know clearly. The question is, what role does Rove have in Dine Torah, either Dine Mominus or Dine Fashos? So we're getting different vibes from Chazal about this. So one is that Gemara, we said we got into the Sugya in the first place. And the Gemara said, Hochem Dine Fashos Achar Rove. And the Gemara lists you one case, and another case, and another case, where we do in fact follow Rove to give a person peace is based in. And yet we have Gemaras in Baba Kama and Baba Basra, where the Gemara tells us, you don't follow Rove, even to be Mitzimamon, which is startling. How in the world can you say that we can kill you, we can't take a dollar away from you? It's very, very hard. It's hard to believe there should be such a distinction. So, isn't that the first, not the last of hard to believe things? So there were some Rishonim who seemed to say that the answer is Enoch and Amin, that Dina Foshas, Itaka follow Rove, and Mominus not. Why? Manish Tata Dina Mominus? Because Dina Mominus, there's a factor in there that you cannot budge, cannot touch, and that is what's called Muchsuk. A Muchsuk B'Mamoni, not necessarily Muchsuk B'Nafshi, but a Muchsuk B'Mamoni is a Cheskes Mamon. And Cheskes Mamon is untouchable. Why is that? Ayin Sham, gotta go back to the recording from 2 weeks ago. Why is Cheskes Mamon untouchable? The Prima Gondim, the Shem Schweitzer, the Prima Yeshua, a lot of different view of what, but Lamaisa Kacha is it. That there really is a distinction between Cheskes Mamon, that it's strangely enough, sometimes easier to invoke the Nefashos rather than to take away money in terms of the Dini Mamon. So, as strange as it may sound, Tosafot Baba Kama seems to say that very statement. Yet, there were two Gedolei Olam who refused to believe it, who couldn't fathom such a distinction. The two Gedolei Olam happened to be the two brothers that we spent a lot of time talking about 2 weeks ago. The Baal HaKetzos, or the Shem Shmaitzer, the same person, the Baal HaKetzos, and his brother, the Kutus HaSfekis. Both of them were convinced beyond the shadow of a doubt you cannot split between the two. And since the Gemara says, Ein Hochem U'mamon Achar Rov, that Gemara is not negotiable. But the Gemara that is negotiable is actually Agamara, in Sanhedrin, the beginning of Ben Sarah. Comes to Shev Shmaitzah and his brother, and it's not fair to say they both said it because the Kutus HaSfekis quotes it from his brother. He writes, Shemati mi'achi, and then in the Shev Shmaitzah he writes, Va'amati la'achi. It's the same. So one said it, one heard it. It's the same Shekel Torah to the two brothers. So the Shem Shmaitzer was the one who was really responsible. Tosafos was really the one who came up with this idea, and his brother signed off on it as well. And we have to go back to the drawing board, back to our Gemara and Masechet Sanhedrin, and although the Gemara says it not once, not twice, but three times on the same moment, Hochem Dine Nefashos Achar Rove, it's not what meets the eye. When the Gemara says Hochem Dine Nefashos Achar Rove, it doesn't mean what we thought it means. What does it mean? So comes Shem Shmaitzer and says, let's chaz it for a second, back to three cases. Each one of them is complicated. Each one was a whole period of itself. We'll try to just recap quickly. How do we get into this topic, Ben Sura Mora? We're discussing what's the window of opportunity to be a Ben Sura Mora. It's a very, very small window. You have to be over by mitzvah, but under the age of technically being able to cause a woman to become pregnant. Otherwise, you're not a bain anymore. You're already a quote-unquote av. How long is that hakko miko go? 3 months. Once 3 months, what's the magic 3 months? 3 months, 3 months is the moment when it's hukah ubra. So in theory, not that anything's really happened, but in theory, this bar mitzvah boy could have caused the woman to become pregnant. We wouldn't know about it for a while. It comes 3 months, that's when the biological, that's ready, when we reach the point of those problems, is ready to start to show the pregnancy, so to speak. That's called halachli hukah ubra. And therefore, the halacha recognizes that he is now labeled as an av. It's really too late to be a ben tzara mora. That's the magic window, 3 months. Comes the Gemara and says, really? I could chisel away at those 3 months. It's not all pregnancies last for 9 months. Some pregnancies last for maybe only 7 months. And maybe it took over even earlier. And the Gemara goes on to a biological discussion. Is that true? Is it not true? It doesn't matter for us right now.
That's after what Rashi says on that puzzle. It's talking about Tamar. Kimishlosh is a little bit of
water. So comes the Gemara and said, Hedman is not sure about this very point. And comes the Gemara and says, it's very possible that hukah over actually is a little bit earlier than 3 months for this early pregnancy. Maybe it could be. It says Rashi, says the Gemara and said, we don't care about that anyway. It doesn't interest us. You know why? The halacha doesn't depend on mute pregnancies. Ruba druba. We sing Tisha Yachaleda. It doesn't say Shiva Yachaleda. We used to have a joke in our family. All of our kids were a little bit late. So we used to say, but our Seder, we always sing Asur Yachaleda. You know, it never really makes it to 9 months. 9 months and change. So, comes the Gemara and says, even though it's possible that this child may theoretically have been able to, again, this is all the Olam HaDimyonos, nothing really happened, but in theory he could have caused a woman to become pregnant, and that woman could have potentially been hukah ubra a week or two early. That doesn't matter. The halacha is not nikvah based on the mi'at, the halacha is nikvah based on the rov, and therefore he's still subject to the onish of Nisus Beis until 3 full months. Says the Gemara, what? Means you're killing somebody based on a rov. You're invoking a chiram lahat, you're invoking the parasha of rov, and this kid is 13 and 2 months and change, and you're putting him to death because of your rov. Oh, mikan, that you follow rov and did nefashis. That's the Gemara. The other Gemara brings another example. For our purposes, we're going to quote 2 out of 3. The Gemara quotes all 3. We're going to leave one of them out. It gets a little bit complicated. The third one, we'll try to streamline a little bit. The Gemara gives another example to this idea. There's a Gemara. A father is makabel kedushin for his little girl. And we're trying to figure out, is she an eshes ish or she's not an eshes ish? So the mishnah is the favorite. She's considered to be a full-fledged eshes ish. And if someone is born with her, he's chay misa. She's not him. She's not bas mitzvah. But the ball of last mamash literally violated the sin of Midaraisa. Says, well, how do you know she's an eshes ish? Maybe she's an islandess. Maybe her body never really developed properly as a female. And as such, it's going to be kedushay tos anyway. The stubble we assumed it was kedushay tos. It was kedushay tos. She's not an eshes ish. So how are you going to kill this boil? And guess what? You're not going to know she's an islandess until much later, until she's at least 12. Says the Gemara, the answer is rov noshim rov islandesses. The odds of an islandess is, if you check with the endocrinologist, it's a very, very small percentage. Says the Gemara, nah, we can ignore the small percentage. Ignore the small percentage, kill the boil based on the rov. Yup, we can't choke him from dinafash sacharov. So these are the two Gemaras. So Kabbalah Sheh Shmaitin says, it's these two Gemaras that caused tzaras for the Baal HaTosfos. It's these two Gemaras that sound pretty clear that you follow rov against the Gemara's about Eimot Hochum Mamrach HaRov, and that's what caused the whole problem. Says the Sheh Shmaitzah, go back to the drawing board. No, look at those two Gemaras again. Says the Sheh Shmaitzah, those two Gemaras are not saying what you thought they're saying. Comes the Shmaitzah and says, I'm going to read together with you a Rambam. I sent it on the phone. Let's read together a Rambam, Menuchas Sanhedrin, and after we read the Rambam together, the Shmaitzah will tell us what those Gemaras, our Gemaras, really truly did mean. So the Rambam, it's in Hilchos Sanhedrin, Perek Tezayin Halacha Vav. The Rambam is talking about the halachas of Malkus. That a person ought to be Chayim Malkus, you follow the same rules of Mishnah Eidim Yochum Dov. We need 2 Eidim to give the guy Malkus. So the 2 Eidim came and say that we saw the stone eating Chazer, because Chayim Malkus. If 1 Eid comes and says, I saw this guy eating Chazer, there's no Malkus. Mishnah Eidim Yochum Dov. Says the Rambam, Perek Tezayin Halacha Vav. Ainot tsara shne eidim l'malkas, ala bishas maise, avala isu atzmo beit echa yuchsak. Says the Rambam, you require 2 eidim for the maise achilas chazir, but to establish that this piece of meat is chazir or chaylev and the other chiyuv of malkas, eid echa bisur. All you need is 1 eid, keitza. Amar eid echa chaylev klesuza. A guy walks to the base and says, this is chaylev. Or kilia kevin parasim, or grushal zayni ishazu. The eid echad came in and identified the following facts in Isurim. We plug in the parasha called eid echad and Isurim. Now what? For achal obal be'edim, achas shehus shabai, And now a fellow went ahead and ate this piece of meat. What was both is Isha, who was identified, let's not forget, based on the testimony of one aid and one aid alone. Hareza like it. Afa pisha inkra isabir echad. He said, even though we only knew the facts based on one witness. But Amta Pishta made in Yachum Dover. The Ram is developing for us a Gevaldik, you say. A Pishta made in Yachum Dover means the Maiseh that's being identified, the Maiseh of Achila. Was there a Maiseh? Was there a Maiseh Bia? That has to be witnessed by two entities. But the prerequisites, the facts that are collected prior to the case itself, you follow Kol Dini HaTorah, whatever the regular Dini HaTorah are. And what the regular Dini HaTorah? That's going to be sure. And that's not called the violation of punishing a person based on Rei Echad. It's a famous sheet of the Rambam. So comes to Sheshmaitz and says, the same way the Rambam says we can establish facts based on the regular Kol HaTorah of Rei Echad, we can establish facts based on the regular Dini HaTorah of Rov. Rov. Rov is a good Dini HaTorah. Why not? What's wrong? We can follow Rov. Says the Sheshmaitz, you can't kill a person based on Rov. But what you can do is establish whether a certain item is potentially subject to Mrs. Beis Din, that you can do based on Rav. That's exactly what's going on in Esrog. What are we using Rav for in the case of Emser Amorah? We're not using Rav to see, did this person eat the basar and the yayin and steal from his father? That's the mechayiv of it. That's based on Tawaid, Rav Pishtai Ben Yerachim Dov, without even Geburim's going to Shkelfin. That's not going to be mechayiv again. What we're using Rov is to establish, are you a Gavra who shayach tum parsha of Emser Amorah? We're trying to establish prerequisites of the case. Are you entitled to wear that title of Emser Amorah? Rov can do the trick. The second case of the Isha. We're trying to figure out, Isha Desh Tishana. We're not trying to figure out, was anyone Baal El? The only way we know someone was Baal El was Apishnei Meir Mechum Dover. Nobody ever said less than that. The chiddush of our Gemara is that you can use rov to pre-establish facts. That you can do. And the Gemara says that no, Gabbat, you can't. The Gemara says you can't kill a person without to aid them. Right. You can't kill a person based on without to aid them. The same way you can't kill Malchus without to aid them. That's the ma'aseh there. Prerequisites to the facts that you can do. Says the Sheish Ma'is in Cain, Agamar never said anything. Agamar never said any chiddush whatsoever. And therefore, what's the rule when it comes to real din nefashos? Can you kill a person based on rov? It's ridiculous, says the Sheish Ma'is. You can't take away his dollar based on rov. How in the world can you take away his life based on rov? I want to take a look.
I think Mons ahead for a moment.
Back to Agamar. Look at some Achtesim and Aleph. Try to bring a diuk, bring a diuk from the Gemara. Mamash like this throughout the Sheish Ma'is. The Gemara just got finished telling us that you follow Rov, whatever that means, by the Nefashos, the case of Emser Amorah. So come down the Rambam and question, really follow Rov? Let's take a look at some Achtesim and Aleph. It's the wide lines. The first one line is Amrua. It's about 10 lines or so down in the wide lines. Amrua kameid ravuna breid rishua. So this shikol Torah that you follow Rov to establish the guys of Emser Amorah was presented to ravuna breid rishua. Omale, ravuna breid rishua questioned the shikol Torah. Omale, ubedin nefashos mezlina basaruba. Do you follow Rov by din nefashos? But the Gemara doesn't stop at that point. Ravuna breid rishua bolsters his argument, strengthens his argument. HaTorah Amra B'Shavto Eide B'Tzilo Eide Adam Zil Basaruba. The Torah says, V'Tzilo Eide. V'Tzilo Eide is a code phrase for saying, Din Nefashos, the base is going to turn the world upside down to save the guy. The goal of Din Nefashos is to save the guy. Nebuch, if we can't, if the Eidim, point in the direction, the case goes the direction, what are you going to do? Once every 70 years it happens. But Mitzil Va'ed is a mitzvah sadayonim to be matzah. You got to turn the world upside down. Hatzach mischus. So if Ravuna Rishua is jumping and saying, you're going to tell me that you kill a guy based on Rav, If you were writing the Gemara, or if your name was Ravun Red Rabbi Shua, and you were questioning this statement that the Nefashas Yifal Rov, how would you formulate a question? What question would you ask? If you had to jump, the early Amorim just said, Shema Mina, Hokhu Di Nefashas Yifal and Amorim the Kamei Ravun Rabbi Shua. So the Tamid and Ravun Rabbi Shua coming and tell them, to ask what they said in the other yeshiva, and the other yeshiva they said, Hokhu Basar Rov, Ravun said, no, Vitilo Ediksiv. I would never have formulated the Kash that way. You know what I would have asked? A pishnayim v'yadim yachum dover. I would have said, you're going to kill one rov? Doesn't the Torah say you need to aid them? What do you mean rov? How are you going to kill based on rov? How come Rav Huna didn't ask some more pasha kasha? Was he digging up a pasha tucked away in Parshas Maaseh? Who remembers the end of Maaseh? It's Matas Maaseh. It's a long pasha. No one's paying attention by Shvi anymore. He said, a pishnayim v'yadim yachum dover is so much simpler. Doesn't that pasha of pishnayim made them require us aid them, not rov? The answer is no.
What does Eidim have to do with Rav?
Eidim is a raya, is the greatest raya possible. The Torah says, a pishtai made him yachum davar. So forget, the Samach Rav will say, that's the mok of Enoch Mamrach Rav. That you need Eidim, you need the highest possible raya that the Torah could speak of. So l'chora, anything short of a pishtai made him doesn't meet the criteria of a pishtai made him, and therefore you can't use that to give a person a piece of Eidim. That's what I would have thought. I would have thought it's an easier question. So the Chora, the reason why Rav Huna didn't ask the question that way is very simple. Rav Huna made the Rishua knew this Rav. He knew that we're not talking about killing a person based on Rav. We're talking about establishing facts beforehand. This has nothing to do with the Chazal of Pishtai made Rav Dover. Rav Huna made the Rishua's kasha was, even though the Rambam is right that there's a din, so to speak, I'm dropping generations, but you understand what I mean. Even though the Rambam is right that Israat will be a Rechid Yuchsach Echmen Makabel. I understand that. By Malkus, I understand that. By Misa, isn't there a special requirement incumbent upon the Beis Din to be Mahafet B'schus? Doesn't that mean you have to turn the world upside down in any shape or form possible to save the guy? So shouldn't that Din of Yitzil of Eidim require of us not to use Rov even to establish facts? That's not a chisarn of Apish Levin and Rechav Dovah. This is not the Ma'is itself. This is a prerequisite. But Yitzil of Eidim should kick in. It's to that. The Gemara said, no. If we're not sure, you're not correct. Haraya, from Island is derived, from Island is derived, from the other cases, Zevin, that's also called Vitzil Eid. Vitzil Eid, we did our best. I, Rov, did a sin, and Rov caused us to kill you. That's not called the Chisar of Vitzil Eid. So Rav Huna Rishu wasn't even asking out Eidus. Eidus is partial, that's not a Chisar of Eidus. He was asking out the new Allah of Vitzil Eid, which potentially would have required us even not to establish facts based on anything short of Apishnan Eid. Upon him, we have two fundamentally different viewers as to what's going on in our sugya in Sanhedrin, where the Gemara says, at least kind of says, that you follow Rov Adin Nefashos, in contrast to by the Dinamamanus, where Enoch Mamrach Harov. So if you can go down the path of that there really is a difference between the two. And Mamanus carries with it the Pasha of Muchsach, and this doesn't have the Pasha of Muchsach, there's a real live difference in the two. That's one approach. But the other approach is, no, that it's impossible. That moment, it's hard to take away your money, take away your life, can't be. And the Gemara says you kill based on Rav, it didn't really be. This was all a facade. This Gemara is not even talking about real killing based on Rav, it's talking about establishing facts before. I call upon everybody say, I can see him on the, I can't say on the Ben Sura part of Ben Sura Mura, because we barely spoke about Ben Sura Mura, but we are going to move now ahead to begin the next sugya. The next sugya we're going to skip a little bit. A Kabbalah from Rabbi Willie, the best way to cover ground is to skip. So we can tell everybody, we're ready, no Hanukkah, to say we only learned a half an omen. We're ready, Baruch Hashem, we're 3.5 ready. So we're going to move ahead now, all the way ahead, to the Ayin Beis of Menal. And the emphasis is that people who learn Ben Sura Mura usually actually start at this point. I couldn't bring myself not to talk about that Yuman Mistaisis and not to talk about Hocham Ocharo, so I succumbed to my Yitzhara. But usually people who learn Ben Sura Mura, they actually start at this point. But the Mishnah Daf Ayin Beis now, it's a brand new, whole new beginning. It's the Mishnah, towards the top, at the end of the thin lines in Ayin Beis now. Habom Machteres Nidon Hashem Sofa. Why are we talking about Machteres? Never prepared the Ben Sura Mura. The answer is there's a similarity between the Ben Sura Mura and the Bom Machteres. Bom Machteres is the fellow who's breaking into your house in the middle of the night, and you have reason to believe that he's out there to kill you. I mean, he's probably just there to steal, but he knows God's good that if you put up a fight, he's going to probably come and kill you, so he's probably armed. And therefore, you're allowed to kill him as a rendezvous. He didn't do anything yet. I mean, he didn't do anything terrible yet. He broke into a house. That was not grounds to kill somebody. But neither Hashem himself. We don't take any chances. We're allowed to kill him based on what it looks like it's going to lead to in the end. So that's similar between him and the Ben Tzermar. Ben Tzermar also, what did he do? He ate some meat, drank some wine, stole a few dollars. What did he do so terrible? I mean, it's not good, but that's not chiv mishpeis din. He's also neither Hashem himself. So comes the Mishnah and starts to talk about all the details about Machteris, and that's where our sugya begins. About Machteris, neither Hashem himself. Hey, about Machteris. A fellow is breaking into the house to steal. V'shiber esachodis. He's a klutzy guy. He broke the barrel. He picks up the barrel to steal and he trips on his own 2 feet. He breaks and smashes the barrel. So now, all of a sudden, we have a din Torah. Din Torah's on the barrel. So now, he gets, the lights get turned on. The cops arrive, hands up. And now we take him to court and I want him to pay for the barrel. So comes the mission, says, a startling thing. Im yesh loy domim chayev, im ein loy domim potter. It depends what kind of b'machteres was. He's a right out of the super passion mishpatim. The two kinds of b'machtereses. There's classic b'machteres, and then there's the wild b'machteres. Classic b'machteres is you and I. I'm caught breaking into your house. You're caught breaking into my house. The owner of the house has every right to assume that the b'machteres is out to kill. And therefore, Nidal Hashem Sofo, he's actually, I'm going to use a phrase very, very loosely here. The Bob Machteris is Chayav Nisa. Now, I meant that loosely because this is not classic Chayav Nisa. Classic Chayav Nisa means a guy's a bit of a czar, a guy's a Ritzach, a guy's a Chal Shabbos. So he's caught, and then 3 weeks later when he's caught, he's Chayav Nisa's based. The Bob Machteris is Chayav Nisa, whole body's in the Machteris. Not that we're going to catch him in the Machteris, put him on a din Torah and have judge. No. The Bala boss, or somebody else for that matter, can actually take him out. Bump him right out. He's Chayav Nisa, Hashem himself, because he's a din for the Rodev. If somehow he survives the Machteris, gets out, and we find him a week later, then he's not Chayav Nisa. But he's called Chayav Nisa. But not every Bum Machteris is Chayav Nisa. The Torah says, Im Zorcha Hashem Eshalov Domim Lo. Sometimes you can have a Bum Machteris where we know, we can safely assume, this fellow is not all that dangerous. He's not coming to kill. That's what the Gemara discusses. Aval Abain means the Ganav is the father. So the Ganav is not very nice to break into his son's house. But the son has to assume, because the father better be out, the father's not coming to shoot. He's not coming. Maybe come to take some money away, but he's not coming to kill. And therefore, he's not Nidal Hashem Sofo, and he's not Chayav Misa. And no one has a right to kill him. And if you kill him, you're Chayav Misa for killing a quote-unquote innocent person. So it's this distinction that the Mishnah is making reference to and saying, we want to know this bumbling Ganav who tripped on his own 2 feet and broke the Chavis, is he Chayav to pay for the Chavis or not? So the Mishnah says, depends. If he was a type of Bum Machteres, who was Chayav Misa for being in the Machteres, then guess what? Then he's Potter for paying for the battle. And he's a type of Bum Machteres who was not Chayav Misa, then he's Chayav Pein Ra. What's that based on? Very simple. Principle called Kamlei B'Dramine. Mishnah, third paragraph. It says, Tzubis, the Pechus Chayav B'Kama. A person does an action that carries with it a Chayav Misa's Bezdin and a Chayav Mammon. The din is Chayav Misa's Bezdin, Potter for Mammon. Some of the classic examples are the Mishnah in Maseches Shabbos, the person who burns down somebody's house on Shabbos. So he's Chayav Misa for Malach on Shabbos, and he's Potter for the Mammon that would otherwise be Chayav for another Mamazik.
Oh, very excellent. You
asked me a loaded question. So clearly, that's what this Mishnah is referring to. Mishnah is saying, a tremendous Chiddush that Mishnah is saying. Mishnah is saying, just as this Kamlei B'Dramine by Misa's based in, so too this Kamlei B'Dramine by the quote-unquote Chiyuv Misa, since he was nitan to be killed. He could have been killed, even though he wasn't killed. He was nitan to be killed. That's also considered to be Kamlei B'Dramine. So the question is, wait a second. The fellow who burned down the house, he's really Chayav Misa. He's going to get Misa, is he? Not so simple. The Pashup Shot, I reserve the right to change this at a later point. But the Pashup Shot that the Rashi says on the Sugya is that The reason why Kibbutz Ramanei applies here is because the Gemara quotes, based on a pasuk, that Kibbutz Ramanei doesn't only apply if the person mamish ends up getting killed. Chayvim Misa Shegigin is also part of his mamon. Let's say a person, he never heard of Shabbos. He went, he knows you're not supposed to burn people's houses down, but he forgot about Shabbos. He never learned that Shabbos. He doesn't know you're not light fires on Shabbos. He goes there and he burns down the person's house. He's not Chayvim Misa Beizdin. He's been Shegigin to the Hasra. He's not Chayvim Misa Beizdin. And he's still part of it. He doesn't have to pay for the money. You know why? Kach nemar lach. Gzeres hakosav. So it's called Tan V'chizke. The Gemara quotes the Brice of Tan V'chizke. It teaches us that lo chilak tebo ben shegi b'lezer. That chay v'mises mizid in a chay aptur in mimam and chay v'mises shodar also aptur in mimam. So the posh of shad is that this fellow as the halach equivalent of a chay v'mises shegi. He never really got killed. Nobody pulled the trigger on him. But since he's chayiv v'mises, he could have been killed, so to speak. He was mechuy b'dover, as a gavra, mechuy b'dover. That's enough to drive it in kicking. That's the posh of Shabbos. So again, I reserve the right to change that. Some of Shem do have a little bit of a different view later on. So, where did this even come from? This whole sugya is a tremendous chiddush agabe chiddush. Chiddush number one is as a parish of Kibbutz Ramanei. Chiddush number two is that this is called Kibbutz Ramanei. It's not even Mises Beisdin. But as I state in the Mishnah, how do you know the first chiddush? How do you know there's a din of Kibbutz Ramanei altogether? It's based on Sukkot and Parshas Mishpat. Torah depicts two scenarios of somebody who ends up causing a miscarriage. Person is fighting with somebody. It's not clear whether he's fighting with his friends, fighting with it's not exactly clear who's punching who. But Lamaisa, it ended up, his actions caused the woman to miscarry. So there's a chiyuv called the Beif Lodus. That's a chiyuv mezikin. You have to pay to the husband, you have to pay to the father of the baby, of the fetus, you have to pay to the Beif Lodus. So the Torah qualifies that and says, you only pay the Beif Lodus if there was no chiyuv Mises Beisdin. V'masomia, v'nasata nefesh tachas nefesh. When do you pay the Beif Lodus? When do you go to Beis Din and you pay to make lodas? Nobody really died. The woman didn't die. Your friend slash enemy who you just punched, who you tried to kill, nobody died. Nebuch, only one being died. The baby died. The fetus died. That doesn't count. I mean, terrible thing, but that doesn't count. You know why? Because you're not chayav misa for that. That's not called other amuchim misas based in. I didn't say that you're not a rotzeich. I held off from saying that. That's a little bit sugya, a little bit later on. That's the big machlekes of Rishonim. It's lahava of dolos. I think Mississippi is fighting it out as we speak right now against the Supreme Court about is it called mitzicha, not called mitzicha. It's an ongoing debate. For the umas ha'olam, it's not a debate. It's Ritzicha Mamash, almost all of them. That's the first one to that. The whole Machlokes of Rishonim is Lagabi Yisrael. There's a little bit of a quirk here. The Yisrael is a little bit more kal than almost all of them, but we'll get to that hopefully a little bit later on this sugya to come. But one thing is for sure, there's no Chiyuv Mises Beisdin for Yisrael that causes the death of the fetus, and therefore Kibbutz Ramanei is not going to kick in because of the death of the fetus, but if some other person dies, unclear who that other person is, then V'nasata Nefesh Tachas Nefesh. So there is a suya Kibbutz Ramanei, it's a mishnah in Bava Kama, mishnah Ksuvos based on some mishpatim. That's like given Tosha Bapeh, Kach Nimso, Moshe Rabbeinu. Nobody ever questioned the basic din, the basic suya Kibbutz Ramanei. And come to Tanoim and 9 days and extend it in a tremendous chiddush and say it applies even to not Chayav Misa's Beis Din. As long as it's Chayav Misa blank, that's also considered to be a Chayav Misa for the purpose of Kibbutz Ramanei. So the mishnah now tells us you have to be very, very careful and figure out. Are you chayav or not? It depends what kind of a b'mach teres are you. If you're a standard b'mach teres, then you are chayav misa, potter from b'min. If you're the aval abein, then you get a little bit of a free pass. You get a free pass, it's going to cost you money for the broken chavis. So come to the Gemara. Let's go 4 lines into the Gemara. Amar Rav. Habot mach teres, v'notol kelim. A person goes into the mach teres, and he walks out, he's got his jars, he's got his barrels, he's got a bag on his back loaded with stuff. V'yotza, nichlas b'shalom, v'yotza b'shalom. He makes it out. You won't believe it. Potter, he doesn't have to pay. Such a guy doesn't have to pay. My timer, b'domim kaninu. It's a little bit of a play, kind of a pun almost on the word domim. Normally domim means money. Here means blood. You bought it with your own blood. Namely, since you were above Machteres, in the state of above Machteres, you were labeled up in Dinazer Roidev. Such a ganav, when it didn't write if there was chal on him. But there is b'machteres. He was a chayav misa, not based, but a chayav misa. Kibbutz Ramani kicks in, and therefore he's potter. Now, l'chora, Rav just said the exact same thing as the Mishnah said. The Mishnah just said that. The Mishnah said, b'machteres, shibas achavus. What did Rav add? So before you read the next line of the Gemara, it's pretty clear what Rav added. What did Rav leave out is more important. What word is missing in Rav's statement? I'm Rav. How's that different from the Mishnah? Not was a kelim, shiber. The Mishnah's talking about you broke the barrel. Rav's talking about the barrel's still there. Not was a kelim. They're still here. The jewelry's still here. Rav's an unbelievable chiddush. Rav is saying, not only does Kilav Diramine pop to you from paying cash for the broken items that you smashed at the klutz, Kilav Diramine pop to you from returning what, Rabbi, say? The kelim itself. The kelim is mamash, it's in my hand. Laugh at you, ka, sorry, Kilav Diramine. No, you're not getting a kli back. That's quite a chiddush. Unbelievable chiddush. Oh, my Rabbi, Rabbi said such a big chiddush is wrong. It can't be. It's lo yitoche. Mistav, don't say the Rav's of the Rabbi. B'sheshiber. D'lesnehu. Aval not aloy. If the kelim is still there, they weren't broken. Lo yuman, lo yitoche. That you're going to say kibbutz and Rami there, such a thing. It's crazy. It doesn't make any sense. Let's see if we could almost like fine-tune it with Lomdus a little bit. Kibbutz and Rami, somehow we have Amuna. We believe in the Parsha and Parsha Mishpatim, because Rav gave us like Zeresh and Kosek, and Rami don't really understand it, but you know, Maminim. But to say kibbutz and Rami by when the items are there, that we can't fathom. What's the difference? Can we concretize the Lomdus? What's the difference between to the case where it's there and it's not there? Kibbutz Ramine is a p'tur from what, Rabbi Zai? It's a p'tur from Tashmumin. When the Geneva is not intact anymore, so I have to pay Vishir Basabiraisha, that's a Paish from Tashmumin. That's like when I burn down your house, that's a Chiyav Tashmumin. The Dinav Tmei Vlodos, that's a Chiyav Tashmumin. The original Mok of Kibbutz Ramine is a Din Tashmumin. When I steal something and it's still here, I broke at the house, I stole a diamond ring and now it's sitting in my pocket. The fact that the Beis is going to make me give it back, that's not Tishkin Tashlumin. That's not Vishil. What is that? The reason why I have to return it is because it's yours. Conceptually, the reason why a Ganav pays, there's a big difference conceptually between why a Ganav pays when the item's not here, in contrast to when he returns the item that is here. When he pays for the lost item, for the broken item, for the smashed barrel, that's a parshas tashlumin on Torah. That's like tashlumin nezikin. That's like mevlodus. Mevlodus, tashlumin nezikin, tashlumin eish, tashlumin mabazik, tashlumin genei, because they know. Those is the parsha from Kibbutz Ramine. Abraha shavas ha-gezeil, labaylik? It's yours. Basically, they asking me to pay out of my pocket. They're just simply walking away and taking something that belongs to the other fellow, rightfully so. What does that have to do with Kibbutz Ramine? So that's what Rava said. It's lo yitochim to say such a thing. So Rav never really meant it. Says the Gemara, guess what? Rav did say it. And he meant what he said. And he meant not talk. He was medayik l'shanim. He was l'shanim ha'lokim. It's like l'shanim shmul. It was like emphasis. That, forget about what Rava just told us. It's not true. V'lokim omer Rav afilu not talk. Rav said, even if the item is still intact, this is still Kibbutz Ramine. It's Pilei Ploim. How can you say such a thing? It doesn't make any sense. What happened to our Lomdus Shechilik with the Tashlumin and Hashava? Says the Gemara, an amazing thing. When a Ganav returns an item that's intact, that's also a Parsha of Tashlumin. It's not a Parsha of Hashava. You know why? Because when you steal something, catch this one. When you steal it, it's yours. The fact that you have to return it, That's b'toras tashlumin. The Torah says that kol zman the chepetz is around, the tashlumin has to be with that item. But if the Torah tashlumin, it's not b'toras hashava. The Torah says a heishv is there, but heishv is a lashon b'nei adam. It doesn't really mean it conceptually. So if you could pull off, it's what a lomdashir twist here. If you have two fundamentally different ways to look at a gan, everyone agrees to the following halacha. I break it, forget to break it. I steal something from you. Forget about breaking it. So I steal something from you. Basin catches me. It's still here, it's sitting in my pocket. The jewelry is sitting in my pocket. Kuliyam will pull you after returning the jewelry to you. The Gemara is raising a lomdashir like a shiva chakira, lomdashir chavarish chakira. What's the nature of this din that I have to return the object to you? And I can't just write you a check. So you can understand that in one of two ways. Either you can understand that I can't just write you a check. Like, mahechatesek, I can write you a check. Of course I have to return that object, because it's yours. I'm just simply being meishiv what's rightfully yours. Or no, it's not yours anymore. Once I steal it, then it becomes almost like mine. And be karon, I really shouldn't be able to keep it. I should just have to give you a cash for value for it. The Torah says, the mitzvah hashava. Torah says you have to return this object, but the nature of the hashava is a tashlum that you did. My nafkamina, to say kibbutz ramani. If it's a shavatikadin, there's nishkim and drama. If it's a shlumatikadin, there's kibbutz drama. Why would anybody say in the wildest dream is the second tzad? Mehechet taste in the second tzad. So that's what the Gemara says. Mamash, every volume of the Gemara, is taught me very heavy duty long to see. It comes the Gemara and says that no, you know why the second tzad is right? For Lakima Marav, a few knuckle, Rav said, even if the item's still here, you're kind of with a kibbutz drama, you don't have to return it because it's tashlumin. Dayesh no domim, in a regular case of ganav, what is the ganav have to pay for onus? I steal jewelry, and then a hurricane comes, tornado comes, and blows the jewelry away. What do I have to pay for? If the davar ganav is still yours, you should suffer the loss of onusin. But that's not true. The Mishnah says, of course the ganav has to pay for onusin. Alma Mishnah say kaive. The fact that I have to pay for onusin is the greatest raya that basically belongs to the ganav. And since it's b'shus ha'kaymi, therefore the fact that the Torah says they have to return it, that's b'toras tashlumin, a b'zoyis b'toras tashlumin, it's to be subject to the p'tuach kibbutz ramini. Says the Gemara, wrong. V'loihi, that raya is not a raya. Ki o k'mina rachamana b'shus ha'i l'inyin oinsin, aval l'inyin mikna b'shus ha'i demarayu kaymi. Says the Gemara, the fact that there's a chayvas einzer, on the mutal al ganav, that doesn't tell you anything about the fact that the ganav owns it and now it's a tashlumin. That's not true. That's a special din, it's a yotzei min haklal. That's a quirk. Even though the olam, the nignav really owns it, the balabas still owns it, but I'm still chayv in einzer. And the Gemara says, that's crazy. How can it be? It's his item. I'm chayv in einzer. We didn't have a shoyel. We have other models. We have precedence in halacha. I borrow a car. Would anybody in a million years say the shul owns the car? It's ridiculous. Of course, the marshal owns the car. The original owner owns the car. Even though the original owner owns the car, I, the shul, the chayven owns it. Because that's what the Torah says. The shul is chayven owns it. So too, the Torah says the ganav is chayven owns it. So the Gemara has been oimed on a very, very tachas to get a kuda. We wonder what's the nature of this din. Everybody agrees that I have to return the item itself. If it's around, I got to return it. Of course, I have to return the item. What does that indicate to us about the nature of the chiv of a ganav, the relation between the ganav and the dovah nignav? Does the fact that I have to return it mean it fundamentally belongs to the Baal Avostel? There's a chiv of onsen, that's a quirk. Don't bring me any rayas. Or do I say no? The chiv of onsen is valid to me that my chiv hashav is not really chiv of hashav, it's really chiv of tashlumu. So that's the pilpul, that's what's going on in between the scenes, between Rav and Rav. What did Rav say? What didn't Rav say? Do we accept Rav? Didn't accept Rav? But let's play devil's advocate for a second. Let's assume, like Rav said, which may also be correct, Pedas Rav, that Habab Machteres v'Natal Caleb Yotza Potter, Rav did not really mean Natal. What did Rav really mean? He left out a word, but he really meant what? Shebear, broke. That's the only case of Kibbutz Ramini. It's not all there's no Kibbutz Ramini. He really truly meant Shiva. Yes, he tells us the top little toys of the days of an hour. Vim Toymar. My Kamashwa. If that's all Rav meant, so why did he have to bother telling us anything? Tanina, Vishiva's the Chavis Potter. The Mishnah says, State the Mishnah Ferish is Potter, as the Kibbutz Ramini, Vamachters. If you tell me that Rav meant this razzle dazzle chiddush, not also the kelim, the kelim are still intact, and Rav tells you a host of Torah that that's also called tashlum. Wow, that's quite a chiddush. Doesn't even say it in the Mishnah, but I'm sure it's right. But at least I understand where Rav is talking. But if Rav is just chazing over the same thing in the Mishnah, what are you Rav for? State mefarish in the Mishnah. V'yesh lemis is tesis. Even mas nisin hava mina shiba ba'olde b'machteres. I would have thought, if I was just reading the Mishnah, I would have thought, b'med d'ba mamurim, that the b'machteres is potter from paying. They have to be broken while he's in the machteres. That's what the Mishnah says. He said, b'machteres, kamash from Rav, afilu shibra charkach. The chiddush of Rav is, the breaking happens, he's right back home, and then he trips on his own doorstep. He's out of the machteres already. So I, from the Mishnah, I wouldn't know what the din is. Kamash and Rav that he's potter. Oh, the Fisher says this teretz is so great, it's overkill. That's the chiddush of Rav. It's wrong because at the moment that it becomes chay of mamon, he's not chaymis anymore. Remember, he was only chaymis when he's in the machteres. If he catches it 6 months later, he's not chaymis.
If you describe it that the Beheshit Sakzila is all part of Tashlum, so therefore it all initiated.
Okay. We got a lot of work. We got to fine tune this. This is because Dr. Fisher, Dr. Garel is going to become critical in the circuit over here. So let's just put things into perspective here. We have a Mishnah that says there's a parish of Kimud Ramine. I don't need this Mishnah for that. I have other Mishnahs for that. I have Sukkot and Chumash. The thrust of the Mishnah, the break from the Mishnah is, there's a din of Kimud Ramine on a chi of Misa, which is not a chi of Misa Beis Din. That's already quite a chiddush. We're not even sure Chazal figured that out, but okay, Chazal did it. It's like stated in the Mishnah. Then we had Rav made this very, very cryptic statement. We're not sure what he said. Did Rav go out on the limb to say, even Natal? Really? It's not even Shibir? So the Gemara gave a razzle dazzle, longest one, maybe it could be true, and then the Gemara's not even sure that it's true. So if Rav didn't need to say that razzle dazzle case of Natal, he was just talking about the old, good old fashioned case of the Mishnah. So what's the chiddush? So Tosfos is searching. What's the chiddush? Oh, here's the chiddush. So now we say, wait a second. It's such an unbelievable chiddush. It's wrong. It's partially not true. Why did you think it's not true? Like the fisher was the one who was jumping and said, why do you think it's not true? Because
he said once he leaves the Machteres, he's not found missing.
Oh, so the chora, what the fisher is thinking, is what I would have thought also, and we may be right, is that Kamei Midramine, by definition, requires that the Chi of Mamon and the Chi of Misa are simultaneous. Imagine the following. I burned down a house on Shabbos. So the Mishnah says, okay, potter from the burning down of the house. I finished burning down the house. Shabbos is over. I burned down somebody else's house. I'm potter, right? Kamei Midramine. What's wrong with that picture? That's partial that that's not right. Kimud Ramine L'chora, I just changed for being partial to being L'chora. There's a reason for that hesitation. L'chora, Kimud Ramine has to be simultaneous. That's what's prompting that deficient Tamiya on the Tosis. And where'd you get that idea from? Why are you so convinced that that's true? So you're probably convinced that it's true based on a Gemara on the same daf, on the bottom line base of an aleph. It's about 10 lines from the bottom. The first one is Bibi Barabai. Bibi Barabai quotes a braisa, a little bit of a different context, not for now, but we're going to extract what we need. Hagoynev kis b'shav is chayev. If a person steals a wallet on Shabbos, the chayev, I go into your house, I pick up your wallet, and I walk out with it, I come home with it, I stole it, I'm chayav. Why would I think I'm not chayav? What tremendous malacha, moving muktzah is not chayav misbezin. What malacha did I do? Hotzo, I carried it. I went from Yerush Yisrael up into the street. I was mocked with the steel into Yerush Yisrael deraisa. It's not so easy to find these days. So I went ahead and I broke with the house and I walked out of your backyard, you're surrounded by mechitzas, into the middle of the street. So I did hotzo. So why am I chayav? What happened to Kibbutz Raminei? Shrein is chayav gineiv, chayav shibon, deyis is Shabbos. Because the Chiv Genev was Chal when did I become a Ganav? When I picked it up. Before the Chiv Shabbos kicked in. That's where the Braisa concludes, contrasting concludes, Har Magadi Yotzei Potter. What if I didn't pick it up? I'm a smart Ganav. I didn't pick it up. I knew, I learned 7 or 9 days when I was a kid. So I remember, if I pick it up, it's going to make me pay money. So you know what I do is I don't pick it up. So I push it along the way. It calls by, I didn't pick it up, I'm not technically a Ganav. There's no Mashiach in Mishas HaBayalim. At what point do I become the ganav? When I'm moshech it out of the rishus ha'yochid into the rishus ha'rabim, guess what? That's simultaneous with what happened. That's what the chiyum misa v'altzah kicks in. Potashrei isegidev isaskilu banki echad. So this brisa, v'rabaye, is Dr. Fisher's brisa. This brisa just told us it has to be simultaneous. If it's not simultaneous, then there's nothing going. There's no kibbutz here. Anyone want to argue with what I just said? Anyone want to refute this proof? This proof is mamash. Are you claiming for her? That the brisa says if the chiyum mamash see the chiyum misa, the game's over. That's not kibbutz. Is that the case that Bamach Teres? Bamach Teres is Shibra Sekelim 6 hours later. It's not simultaneous, all right? What's the order? In our case, Bamach Teres, the Misa preceded the Bamach. All you see from this Gemara is that if Mammon precedes Misa, Kimmel Ramine is finished. The Gemara doesn't say a word about Misa preceding Mammon. Why in the world would anybody think there's a difference? That's the next part of the sugya. Hopefully, Hashem, next week we'll try to pick up from this very, very important.
Thank you.